So in the early 30s, 1934 then was a significant year for her, because then her book, The Rise and Fall of the Choctaw Republic, which was an outgrowth of her dissertation, comes out. Talk about that.
The publication process is successful. This book comes out. Mostly positive reviews. And as I said, this book will receive the Dunning Prize by the American Historical Association. So she receives national, if not international, praise for this early success in her first book. And yet another woman that we've mentioned today, a woman scholar, Muriel Wright, has questions in her book review, even the title. She didn't like the idea of the rise and fall. She would suggest another title. So you can kind of see how some of these perspectives are challenged among the women that we're talking about here.
But didn't she pick titles that she knew would be catching? I mean, she was a public relations woman, too.
Yes, she was.
The Rise and Fall of the Choctaw Republic. That might catch somebody's attention rather than here's a history
You're
of the Choctaw people.
Right. Yes, she had a flair with her writing, and she did believe in the power of a compelling title.
You referred to ethnology, and then there's ethnohistory. They have pointed to this book as one of the early examples using that. Talk to us about what is that.
When you look at the sources that she's using to tell this story, she is going to use a variety of sources that you may not find in other work at the same time period of the 30s. So she's going to be looking at the traditional sources, traditional being the work of historians who have come before her, and federal government, the government documents, newspapers. But she's also going to incorporate, as you said, the Choctaw Council records, the Choctaw National records, and she's going to also include oral histories and oral tradition in the 1930s to tell this story.
And nobody had done that.
And that's new. That is new.
Sometimes we can't believe that, but I'm sure there'll be people looking back at our times and duh, we can't believe they thought the way they thought. So, you know, we have to forgive them. So she's breaking ground.
Absolutely.
Yet she never obtained a tenured track position at any college.
No, she did not. We could also say, well, she was the MAPS librarian at Oklahoma State University. Those would be faculty positions, but not the kind of tenure track positions in history that she so desired.
So while she's getting national attention, her work at West Texas was problematic. She had a relationship there with a Dr. Sheffy, which was quite contentious. And Dr. Sheffy, what was his position there?
If I recall, Dr. Sheffy is the department chair.
And he wouldn't invite her to lectures by visiting scholars.
Right. So she feels a personal snub. And maybe he's thinking of, well, I don't necessarily want to invite all of my colleagues. So it's very disappointing. At the same time, I'm thinking about her scholarship and her contributions and winning these national awards at the same time. Yes, it's disappointing what's going on in those relationships.
It was a lonely life. You talked about her in the museum. It was a humiliating experience for her. You get this national attention on the book, and then they treat me like...
And I know she was an excellent professor. I see pictures of her time at West Texas. She's also taking students out in the field. She's taking them to Palo Duro Canyon. She's teaching them how to hunt and how to camp and doing all of these things and talking about the American West in the outdoors. And all of that is compelling to me.
Yeah.